Wonderful to be with you all this morning, to worship with you, to rest in God's presence together. Yes, my name is Jeremy Vandermeer, and yeah, just privileged to be with you and bring God's word to you this morning. This morning, we will be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. So I invite you to turn your Bibles there, 1 Peter chapter 2. You can also follow along on screen as we go through that. But as we open the Word, let's just seek the Lord's guidance and blessing over His Word as well. So let's pray together. And so, Jesus, we do just thank You. And we come before You thankful. Thankful for You, for Your love, for all You've done for us, Lord, and how You have made us new in You. We thank You for Your word. It is life to us and life for us. And so, Lord, we ask for what You have for each and every one of us this morning. We ask that You sow it deeply within us, that You water it richly and cause it to flourish in our lives. For Your name's sake and for Your glory, Jesus. Amen. First Peter chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 2 through 9. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd just like to begin by inviting you all to think about the night sky for a moment. Just the stars we see, the stars that are visible to us. And honestly, when I consider the night sky, sometimes my mind doesn't necessarily go to the actual night sky I see from my backyard, but rather to like the planetarium or to images we've seen in movies or books, right? And just the fullness of the night sky. Because for me, right, I live in Edmonton, and I imagine it's similar here in Leduc, unless you're out in more kind of rural setting. What we see in our cities of the night sky, we can go, "Oh, wow, that's impressive." And it is, and you know, try to make out the Big Dipper, which we have to strain for at times. And there's stars out there, and it's just so cool, like these stars, and God made them, God put them there, and they're just so far out there, and they're just so like big and strange to us, and it's just so cool. But when we get a real picture of what the night sky is like in its fullness, outside of all of like our human night light. It's a whole new world, isn't it? It's a whole new world. We're just like blown away by it all. And you like see it. I don't know, have you ever done that on a camping trip or something else? And you suddenly see it like, oh man, that's why they call it the Milky Way galaxy. It's just so obvious. And then you look at it in the city like, oh, why is it the Milky Way galaxy? Can't really see anything milky about it. The majesty of it all, the beauty and depth and vastness of it all, and just how our light pollution, or whatever you want to call it, just kind of dims our view to all of it. And maybe, I don't know what you think, maybe we only see like what? Like maybe a millionth of what there is to see? And it doesn't mean that the stars and the galaxies are any less abundant or the night sky any less majestic. It's just that we've dimmed our view. In the two letters of Peter, both begin with these same thoughts. 1 Peter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance. 2 Peter 2, verse 2, or 1, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace and peace, His presence, is abundant. It is, and may it be yours this day and for all your days. In a world that would seek to dim our view or pollute our view of the abundance of the majesty of God, distract us with false light, God's grace and peace remains and is abundant. Stand firm in it, grow in it, and continue to marvel at it. And this is our life in Jesus. This is our life in Jesus. And so we're going to walk quickly through these verses of 1 Peter chapter 2 to see how we continue to walk and how we continue to grow in the abundance God has for us, how we stand firm in it. And just kind of see in a cursory view in these verses God's design and plan for salvation being worked out in our lives. So we'll start with verses 2 and 3. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so by it, you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted the Lord is good. So to crave pure spiritual milk by what? It's just a hunger. A longing for more. A hunger for more of the Lord. That by it, we may grow up in our salvation. See, we know what the world tastes like, what it has to offer. We are familiar with the movements of the world. We are familiar with the movements of our hearts in this world. How desire works in us. But have we tasted that the Lord is good? Are we familiar with that taste? I think we're all tasting it in worship this morning. And as you think about your life, you're like, whoa, Jesus, you did that for me? Whoa, you love me like that, even though I've done this or that or whatever? Whoa, you remain steadfast and faithful. If we have tasted of Jesus' love for us, of his forgiveness, of our sins, of his peace in our hearts, of his nearness, of his wisdom over our lives, of his provision, of his mercy, of his deliverance, if we have tasted that. We have tasted his goodness. And the Lord puts a secret ingredient in all his food to stir up more hunger in us, that we would want more, that we would want more of him. Right? It's just like if the night sky, if you have seen that full night sky outside of all the city light, outside of all the city pollution, there's just no going back to city stars. It is the Lord provoking us from faith and to faith. The gift of hunger that can only be satisfied in Jesus, with the purpose that we would grow in salvation. And so verses 4-5. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In these verses, the thing I want to highlight is that as we draw near, we are being built up. As we draw near, we are being built up. James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And this is different than maybe we're thinking right away of God's shepherding presence in our lives. This is a different aspect. This is the imagery of the refiner, of the potter, of us getting close enough for the Lord to get his hands on our lives in that refining way, in that pottery way. There is a surrender sense in here, just kind of almost a dual sense of surrender. Firstly, that the Lord gave himself up for us, rejected by humans. And now we are called to give ourselves over to him. Surrender to him. This is the place of being refined in him, of being reformed after him in his image. It is interesting to see that after Jesus gets his hands so, intimately on us, individually and as a house, that then worship increases. The fame of Jesus increases, right? As it says, then offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The gift of access by the blood of Jesus, the gift of access and encountering the living God, that we would grow in the likeness of Jesus and the worship of Jesus. Verses 6-9. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There are some tangents in this verse here, in these verses here. So how I want to draw it all together and highlight from these verses is the, but for you who believe, which then at the end, verse 9, the chosen people, the royal priesthood, holy nation, but for you who believe, that you may proclaim Jesus. Him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. It's like you're hanging out with your friend, just sitting on your porch with them in the nighttime, and they're telling you, oh man, look at the stars, isn't that so cool? Isn't this amazing? And you agree, because the stars are amazing, so beautiful. But you also know more. And you tell him, man, you think this is good. You got to drive 3 hours out of the city. Catch it on a clear night. And you will be blown away by what you see. You think this is good? You just wait. But more than just a night trip or a one-time experience, this is our life now. This is our life now. We live with a direct feed, direct access, direct view to the excellencies, the beauty, and the majesty of Jesus Christ. We've been put in relationship with him. And we have been given the honor and the privilege, and it is our very life, to abide in him. What do you love about him? What do you love about him? Faith is unto more faith. That's God's design, to grow us up in salvation. We grow up in it, and we also stand fast in it. And it is our honor to know the greatness of his name. This gift of faith and believing, right, that we may walk in his wonderful light and bear Jesus' wonderful news, his gospel, his kingdom, his return. And so a question that comes from all this, and just kind of that quick overview of those verses and God's design and salvation in our lives and discipleship in our lives is, well, okay, who is building who? Who is building who? And I know, it's like, okay, it may seem obvious question, but it's worth asking because it seems to me that in much of our lives and in much of the way that this world is oriented and the way this world works is that we build our lives. We build ourselves up, right? And we can even kind of adopt that in ways of, okay, we build the church that we go to. We build the ministries we serve in. But who is the builder? Who is the builder? And this is crucial for us to come around to again and again and again and again and again. Right, verses 6 and 7 talked about building. Verse 7, we'll start in verse 7 first, says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So someone is building something and ended up rejecting Jesus, which we kind of know, oh, that's the worst thing you want to do. Don't want to end up there. And now we know specifically this is speaking of the Jewish leaders in the Jewish system at the time of Jesus. And that's not the kind of building we want to get into. Verse 6 also talks of building. It says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So, build, and it seems like maybe that's on the path to rejecting Jesus, stumbling over him, or come to him in trust, and be built on the living stone, begin to be formed made new after the living stone, in the same quality of the living stone, and never be put to shame? That's a lot. That's a big promise. Anyone going to test God on that promise? Never be put to shame for putting your faith in Jesus. Jesus will never let you down. Doesn't mean life's easy. We all know that. Or that bad things don't happen to us. We know that too. But he will never betray us. He will never betray us. He is the way. I mean, Jesus is the only builder, right? He's the only builder. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he said about himself. That's what we believe. And so if it's not of him, if it's not by him, what exactly is it? What exactly is it? And this is the hard part. Because we also live in a world where there's a lot of unbelief, right? And we are tempted towards unbelief by the pressures or systems or allurements of the world and by the enemy at work against us. And all that can have like an effect of like dimming the night sky, essentially. And in that battle or in that tension, Jesus, the cornerstone of Zion, chosen and precious in God's sight, can maybe seem to be to us at times a stone of stumbling or a rock of offense. Because the living stone is not like worldly stones or worldly foundations. And that can put us in uncomfortable places if we're trying to make them fit. Trying to make everything fit nicely in our way. Right? Because then we're the builders. So how do we stand fast in this grace we have been given? How do we grow in it? How do we navigate those times where we're just like, I don't know, Lord. I don't know, Lord. This is hard for me. I'm not so sure. And so I want to kind of bring it to a close with a verse from Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, which might be on screen as well. For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. See, the gift of faith empowers us to get low before the King of Kings. Right, and no matter where you're at, no matter what season you're in, this is for every one of us here, every Christian at all times, to get low before the Lord. And in this day and in this hour, there is such a need for us as his people to see clearly. We need to see clearly, and the place and the one way to see clearly is to get at his feet. If we're not at his feet, we can get caught up so quickly in the swirl of this world where it's just complexity upon complexity upon complexity upon complexity. And we lose the simplicity of Jesus, the simplicity of his gospel. where we take on those hard words, right? Those easy words to read, easy words to say, but those hard words to really walk into, right? Not my will, but yours, Lord. Not my way, but yours, Lord. Not my truth, but yours, Lord. We all need this. I need this. And this all offends us at various times in our lives. This is all a picture, right? And in 1 Peter chapter 2 as well, this is all a picture of what humility looks like with the Lord, right? It's really just that heart cry of what else do I have? What else do I have but you, Lord? Right, Lord, I need you. Help me. Help me, like, long for you more. Like, give me this desire for you. Help me to draw near. Lead me to draw near to you. To proclaim you, to tell of you. Like, I just want you, Lord. This is part of God's power unto salvation. This is part of God's power into salvation, his power in our lives, empowering us unto this, empowering us into the new nature we have in Jesus, the new creation we are in him. And it begins with Jesus being exalted, the cross. It continues with Jesus being exalted, his lordship over us and our alignment in that, our abiding in him. And it ends with Jesus being exalted, his return. He is the exalted one, so we can be low and confident and trusting in him. And as we walk in humility before the Lord, it is attractive to him. It makes room in us for more of him. What was that cry of John the Baptist? One of the cries of John the Baptist, looking at Jesus. He, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. That's what we all need. That's what we all need. For him to come in and revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite, to know that intimate nearness of the Lord. You see, God's design in salvation is not us measuring up, building, et cetera, striving, all that, right? Jesus is the measure. Jesus is the measure. And that frees us. You say, hey, I'm free. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about him. And so this is the heart posture of being low. It's not just trying to say, oh, to walk humbly is just to like think, is just to belittle ourselves. Like, oh, I'm nothing. It's not about that. It's still kind of talking about ourselves. It's just not about us, period. It's valuing Jesus like the Father does. In chapter 2, verse 4 and 6, twice it said, Jesus is precious and chosen in God's sight. Right? That's the view. That's the full view we live with. Day by day by day, the full majesty of that night sky, the preciousness, the chosenness of Jesus. As we look at the cross, as we see the empty tomb, as we see his ascent at the right hand of the Father, his hand sending out the Holy Spirit, right? As we consider the height and length and depth and width, the full majesty of the night sky is before us always. He's the foundation of our lives. He's the builder of our lives. And he is the glory that fills our lives. Is this not precious and wonderful? This is the abundant grace and peace to stand firm in and grow in. And may it be yours this day and all your days. Shall we pray? Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for this picture of abundance with you. The fullness of your majesty, Lord, and of your glory. Your design and your heart in growing us up in the salvation you have given us freely. Lord, we thank you that you are the good shepherd over our lives. And that you are also a refining fire, purifying us unto your likeness, unto your heart, O Lord. Lord, we just ask for greater measure, in greater measure, for those things we looked at this day, Lord. I ask over each and every one of us here a greater desire for you, a hunger for you, a craving for you, Lord Jesus, to spend time with you, to know you, to see you in your word. We ask for that gift, Lord, that by it you may grow us up in salvation. Lord, we ask for the strength and the courage by your Holy Spirit to come to you, that by it you may build us up into a spiritual house. Lord, and we ask for an increase of faith, for a steadfastness in belief, that by it we may see you and bear witness to you, Lord Jesus, and that your kingdom, your rule, your reign, your gospel may advance not only in our lives, but in this church and in this city and around your world. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.